Hey, I'm Amanda from Trifecta Fitness. We're proud to be Clarksville's new Get Fit headquarters. Trifecta Fitness is a state-of-the-art spin and strength training studio. Our spin studio is truly one of a kind in this area, complete with 20 state-of-the-art live fitness bikes and an incredible sound system. Our strength training is done in small groups of six or fewer, and all of our strength and spin classes are scalable for every level of experience. Come see us in the heart of Clarksville, just behind MAPCO at the corner of Old Trenton Road and Wilma Rudolph Boulevard. Call us for more info at 931-542-6265 or download our Trifecta Fitness app for a full list of upcoming classes.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back.
Misfit Nation Show.
We are a show founded by a veteran and hosted by two veterans and a military spouse. Our mission is to get people to tell their stories to the world. If you're an author, share your tips with the Misfit Nation. If you're a musician or an actor, our audience needs to know how they too can get into the business. Coaches, we love our coaches. Come on and share your tips with the Misfit Nation to help them become better versions of themselves. If you are a corporate leader or an entrepreneur, come on and show how you did it and how hard you have fought for success. If you are a veteran, first responder, or Gold Star family, we would love to have you come on and share your story with the Misfit Nation. We always have time for you. If you're feeling down, alone, or starting to see the darkness, stop. Think about those who are around you. You are not alone. You will be missed. If you feel like your problems will be a burden to those in your inner circle or feel embarrassed, dial 988. If you are a veteran, take option one. We need you to keep pushing forward. Don't make a permanent solution to a temporary problem. If you are a new listener, welcome to the Misfit Nation Show. Be sure to subscribe to our show on your favorite podcast app. Also on our YouTube channel at @_MisfitNation. Subscribe and click the bell to keep you up to date on our latest episodes and all of our news. You can also find us on Heroes Media Group and About Face Radio. Now, let's get to the show!
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to our Sunday after dinner show. RJ couldn't make it tonight. He had an orthopedic issue, and he'll be going to get care tomorrow. Self-care is the best care. Make sure you get yourself well, RJ, so you can get back on the show Tuesdays and Thursdays. Tonight, I'm coming at you from Seymour, Indiana. Yes, another state on our checklist of states where we go live from. I have Jake in the studio monitoring the comments. Steve's monitoring the comments on YouTube. Thanks, guys, for jumping in and helping out tonight while we're on the road and doing this stuff. Tonight, we have a great guest. He's going to share his business wisdom, experience, and expertise in three key areas: executive leadership, brand development, and marketing communications. He has published his first book, Business Kung Fu, which has attained bestseller status on Amazon. He has studied and served as practitioner of Chinese medical Huizhang since 2015, bringing energy healing to hundreds of people. Currently, he is pursuing a doctorate of Chinese energy medicine from the Temple of Change and Transformation. So without further ado, let's welcome Craig Cook, author, consultant for business and energetic people. Welcome, Craig.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you for having me here today, and thank you for your service.
No problem. Thank you. Again, it's great to link in with you here. I know we're broadcasting live to your LinkedIn audience. Hopefully they get something out of this, as I know we will here with the Misfit Nation. Greg, I just gave a little bit about you, basically a four-sentence introduction of you, who Craig is. If you don't mind, give us a little more about you from as far back as you want to go to how we came to where we are today.
Sure. So, growing up, I came from an entrepreneurial family, a small business. Since we're talking a lot about a business, that's actually where it all started, just growing up in that environment. I was very fortunate. My mom owned a very small restaurant, like 14 tables or so. And I started working when I was 10 years old, washing dishes in there, a couple nights a week, and then started to get a little bit more. At 13, I became a busboy. And then at 16, a waiter. And was a waiter in there for about 5 years or so until the recession of the early 90s hit and things just got really rough and I had to shut down. But that was a great experience. Working in a restaurant really teaches you a lot about working under pressure, being efficient, organization, teamwork, communication, salesmanship, and a lot of great lessons. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And then they also had a construction company, small business installing automatic fire sprinkler systems, design, installing, and maintaining. And I worked in the shop. At 16, I started working in the shop, cutting and fabricating pipe. And sometimes we get out in the field, but that's work, because the pipe is steel pipe, super heavy, and we get hot where I live, like 100, 105, 110, and burning through the gloves and stuff. But it was good. It's good for my character, that hard work. So I went to college, studied business, got a business degree, operations management. It's my major, minor in marketing. And while I was in college, I started learning about computer technology. I volunteered for the Multimedia Design Center. And that was back in the days when it was Photoshop 1.0. That's how long ago it was. Wow. So I was teaching myself those programs and I was helping other students and faculty work with those programs. So that's what really got me infatuated with technology. And then after graduation, I was helping my parents out with the construction company, just automating things, getting everything on the computer because they did everything by hand. Gave that a go for a couple of years, but it was tough during that time with the recession. It really hit bad. And at the time I started learning about the internet and saw the potential of how big it was going to be. And in 1995, with a couple of friends of mine from college, we were talking about this idea. And then in 1996, we actually started the company with $1,300 a piece and a computer, and worked on developing a business model that we had to adapt and change over time. And we can get, into the details of that. But long story short, built it and then sold it in 2019. And stayed on as CEO for three more years. So after 26 years of running that company, I took a break. every year was a mile. So I ran a marathon and I needed to decompress. And now I'm on a new chapter. I just published my first book, as you mentioned earlier, and doing consulting work. And so we can get into all these neat things. But that's the quick story.
Awesome. And you kind of glanced over the book there. Business Kung Fu. I think that's a great title. I told you that in the green room. I think it's a great title. And what made you come up with that title?
So I studied Chinese Kung Fu when I was age 17 to 25, really intensely. And then once I started my company at age 25, I just was so obsessively all in. I stopped practicing, essentially got practice less and less and less. But I took a lot of the principles, what I learned from Chinese Kung Fu, and actually applied it to my company. As far as certain philosophies, the way to structure, organize my mindset, discipline, especially, because Kung Fu, really literally means disciplined person. Kung, discipline, and Fu is man, depending upon the interpretation, many interpretations, but someone I like to use. So discipline was huge, perseverance, all that stuff. So that was in 2011, I thought I need to always write that book that I always wanted to write. So I started working on it. It took me 12 years to get it done, but hey, it's a better book that I finished it now rather than way back then, because there are such much more to my journey in business over the last 12 years. So, yeah.
I'm sure in the lessons you learned over those 11 years also probably helped you to make the book even better for the reader to see that you in fact are human writing this book and making those mistakes that business people make along the way and learning from them as you go. What would you say was some of the biggest lessons you learned while growing your business? And then of course, adding it to the book.
Yeah. So, one thing, an early lesson, I would say within the first year of being in business was, focused is really good. It's great to be focused, but you have to have peripheral vision, right? And I should have known better because, in Kung Fu, the same thing. You need to have the focus, but you need to be aware of your surroundings because there could be multiple opponents, et cetera, right? And your surroundings, et cetera. You understand. And there was this one opportunity that came up where one of our vendors was having a conversation with them. And this was like 1996. So the early days when hardly anyone even knew what the internet was. And this guy's like, are you ready for the ride? And I'm like, yeah, man, I'm ready. You know, I guess thinking that, you know, we're talking about the big opportunity. And we were so focused on marketing independent music, because that's what we came out with, was rhythmnet.com to market independent music. And this guy said, well, if, you know, some companies need website development, I'll send them your way. And I was like, yeah, thanks. But, you know, we're really so focused on our idea. It's just going to be, you know, the distraction and outside of our scope. And looking back, because we ended up adapting anyways and becoming doing websites for companies in 1998, because we had to, just for survival. And that was an opportunity that we probably would have really helped expedite things a lot quicker for us, because they probably would have sent us some, you know, good companies with some decent contracts, and we could make started making decent money a lot quicker. So lesson being that, you know, it's good to have focus, but you have to have that peripheral vision, you know, maybe like an 80-20 thing, to be aware of opportunities that are presenting themselves.
Definitely. You always, I like that you said, you got to know your surroundings, and and that doesn't just go with the career that my the last chapter of my life and most of my audience's life, but I mean, every aspect of life, you got to know where you are and know who your audience is, who you're talking to. And in the business world, you have to know exactly what your client is and what they're looking for, and not just talk in that circle that kind of makes them get that bad taste in their mouth about you. So you have to be the one that they want to see and get the sale or get the business that you want.
Right. Right. Yes. Yes. Yeah, I was young, you know, at the time, again, I started when I was 25 and, you know, didn't know a lot, you know, experience is a great teacher, and just made tons of mistakes along the way. But yeah, you know, that's how you learn. And especially that's how it, the lessons really stick, because it's like, oh yeah, I'm not going to do that again. You know?
Right. Like you said earlier, you build character by burning your hand on the pipes and stuff like that. You kind of build character along the way in any aspect of life. As long as you're learning a lesson, no matter what you, whatever you try, you're going to have those little cuts and bruises inside you, really, when it's not the actual physical, it's inside emotional or whatever. You'll have those things, but you got to learn from it. What you're saying right now is the same thing. You got to learn those lessons as you grow and learn and grow and grow your business. In 1996, you started a digital company that was nearly unheard of back then.
Right. Digital first company.
What made you have that forward thinking at that point to do that? And look where we are today.
Yeah. So, it was right around probably 1994. I started reading about the internet. I had a job also on campus at Cal Poly Pomona, where I went to school. I worked for a couple faculty members in the math department, and they had email, and it's like 1991, and they would travel a lot, and I was always able to communicate with them instantly. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I can actually... They can be on the other side of the country. I'm able to just message back and forth instantly. So that was like my first preview into the internet. And then shortly after graduation, I started reading about the internet, and I just became kind of fascinated with it. And then I got America Online. And that was my first real experience of jumping online and 14.4 modems and super slow speeds and all that. And those days are funny. And I had a passion for music also as a musician, played guitar and piano. And one of my friends, we'd get together and play a lot. And one day I came home with this CD-ROM that I got at this computer store called MusicNet. And it had a collection of all these bands on there, and you can watch their videos and, you know, read up on them. It was just cool. And then since I was learning about the internet, having a conversation with my friend, like, oh, it'd be cool to like do something like this, but online. You know, get our music on there. And then, you know, we kept talking, oh, that'd be cool service for other musicians. Yeah, that would be. So I was like, yeah, well, let's do it. So that was the first initial idea. And I continued to do research and like Jupiter research reports and looking at the growth potential of the internet and really understanding its implications. I was like, oh yeah, I gotta jump on this. like this is an opportunity of a lifetime, and just went for it.
That's awesome. A lot of people probably wish they jumped on that train at that time and stayed with it as long as you have. I mean, it's hard to stay with something that long and stay with the, I guess, the improvements in technology, advances in technology as they go. I mean, now you can put on the Apple Vision goggles now and do your work just on there. And that's pretty amazing to do that.
Yeah. It's amazing how far it's come. I mean, back then in 1996, 97, 98, 99, things were moving really fast. Like every week there was something new coming out, you know, platforms and websites and technologies, speed improvements, compression schemes, all this stuff was constantly coming out. It was a challenge to keep up with it. Nowadays, man, it's gotten so much more sophisticated and it still keeps changing. It's just constant. And now with AI really coming to the forefront, I mean, it's been around, but now it's at the forefront and everything's just getting exponential. It's amazing.
I mean, even a couple of years ago, I couldn't do my show from a hotel room like I am right now with internet speeds. And now I'm running three different systems here on all three of them are on Wi-Fi, able to talk to you. I have my phone, my tablet, so I can look at notes, everything going at the same time. I'm just draining the whole hotel right now. There's probably lights blinking outside, but it's working. And it's something that you didn't imagine years ago. And it's awesome that we're able to watch, be a part of it as it grows.
It really is. It is quite amazing. And the fact that it's really enabling anybody like us to have a voice and express our opinions and be heard. It's wonderful. I mean, there's pros and cons to the internet for sure. And, you know, especially with social media and, you know, online obsessiveness and all those things. But, you know, the other side of the coin is look what you just said. It's empowering. It's amazing.
We got a question from the audience already. David Cloud is coming at us, I believe, still from the greater Manhattan, Kansas area. Cool. What's the best lesson in business that has helped you?
I would say there's so many, but you know, real quick, like the first thing that just came to my mind was adaptability. Being able to adapt is how you survive, which I'm sure you can appreciate. You know, 1998, you know, we had been struggling for 2 years, and in 97, we started getting some, fielding questions like, hey, you know, this internet stuff, can you do our website? Like, yeah, sure. And get paid pretty decent for our time, right? And then 1998 is like, you know, the light bulb went off and it's like, hey man, we got to pivot. We got to focus on doing websites for companies, and we can still do the music thing. Let's put it off to the side and shift our focus. And we became RhythmNet Design Group doing websites for companies. But then at that moment, I saw a vision for what the world of marketing was going to change to, especially with an integrated approach of online and offline. And then just started to work towards that model, acquiring different skills like print skills, even and CD-ROM development and email marketing, search marketing, to eventually we again changed and pivoted around 2004, rebranded as Rhythm Interactive, so that we can now go after larger clients. We are working with a lot of small businesses, but we started working probably around maybe 1999, we started getting some little bigger companies, and then each year started getting bigger companies. By 2002 or so, we were working with some pretty big companies. It's like, yeah, we got to shift. We got to change our focus. We got to adapt because this is how we really make it. So that's what we did. And then, yeah, we rebranded again in 2000, I don't know, maybe 8 or something or 12. I don't know. It's hard to remember everything exactly these days. So just Rhythm. And really getting our model honed in. So adaptability, you have to, you know, change your song from time to time. Otherwise, you just, all kinds of things can happen and you just won't survive.
And you become stagnant in the field. So if you're staying where you were and everyone else is taking them steps forward, you become the old school, the old news, and no one really wants to go to Craig anymore. They want to go to Philip or Joey, you know, or Melissa. Mm-hmm. And say, hey, that's who I want them to do my job, because they seem like the new hotness and they don't seem like they're resting on their laurels right now.
Especially in tech. Yes.
Oh, yes. Basically in tech, if you take a break, you're done, I think.
You
have to jump really forward if you take a break.
Yeah. Being complacent just isn't a way to survive in tech, by no means.
100%. And building your business as long as you have, I'm sure that you've put a lot into the business. At any point during this building, did you feel it like draining you as a person and maybe affect your health?
Oh, yeah. That was another super big lesson I learned. So when I started the company, again, at age 25, I was in great shape. You know, I was practicing martial arts all the time. I was doing strength training, you know, in the gym with, you know, with weights. Yeah, I just was in great shape. And as I mentioned earlier, I was so obsessively all into the company. I just stopped taking care of myself and I worked obsessively. I would get like 3 to 5 hours of sleep a night, which isn't good. And sitting, you know, programming and designing on the computer, you're sitting on your butt all day, all night. It's not good. You know, being sedentary, we're not designed to be that way. So it caught up with me. By the time I was like 35, my health had totally went to the other side of the spectrum where I was just overweight and just unhealthy. And fast forward to around when I turned around 44, 45, I discovered that I was diagnosed with diabetes. And, you know, yeah, it's just a result of being unhealthy. And I noticed when I was probably around 41, 42, I said, oh, man, I got to change something because I'm just not feeling good. I'm tired. I would crash at night after I eat dinner. I'd start working again on the couch and I'd just fall asleep. And that would never happen to me. I was always able to go, go, go. And just foggy brain. And, you know, after I came down with that diagnosis, it all made sense. Like, oh, okay. Oh, this sucks. So that was a huge lesson that you really need to take care of yourself. And I have a saying in my book, be of service to self so you can be of service to others for a lifetime. Yeah, if you're not taking, if you're not taking care of yourself, you won't last. You'll burn out. I know because that was me. Yeah, you know, luckily I had the discipline to turn it around and I reversed diabetes 100% naturally without any pharmaceutical meds or anything. You know, it's a war that you have to fight on all fronts. You know, it's like land, sea, air, because, you know, it's walking, it's sleep, it's proper nutrition, supplementation, strength training. You know, I'm doing martial arts again, you know, all these different things. And Qigong's a big one as well, which we can probably talk about later. You know, all these different things come into play when it comes to maintaining your health. I actually go in for another blood panel tomorrow morning, actually, and I'll see where I'm at. But you have to monitor it because you can't – this is one fight you can't let up. That's for sure.
This one counts for the thing called life at the end. So it depends on how long you want to stay with us or with your family and everyone as well.
That's gotta right.
Put on that fight or just sit back, relax, and enjoy the last months or weeks or year or years of your life, depending on how miserable you want to be at that point.
Yeah.
And then you have to look back at all the awesome things you did and say, well, I could still be doing awesome things.
That's right. Yeah. I want to be around for a while. I want to be around for my family and everything. And diabetes is a slow killer. It's debilitating. You know, it runs in my family and I've seen what it does. And I just, I'm just not going to allow that. So, yeah. So you gotta take care of yourself. It's so easy to get lost into your business and not take care of yourself. It really is. Because that was me for a decade at least, you know, probably like 15 years.
And you just probably just tunnel visioned it in there too. Said, I got to put all my energy, all my effort into this.
I did. Like I said, I would get like 3 to 5 hours of sleep. And when I was like 25 to 30, that was no problem for me. It was just me. I was wired that way. But like when I was like 35, 36, it started catching up to me. Also, I started drinking coffee at the age of 30 and that probably changed stuff, you know, not good. When I was 35, I would drink like 3 big cups of coffee during the day, you know, morning and afternoon. And then at night, you know, at 9 o'clock, you know, just had our first child and he'd go to bed and I'd make a full pot of coffee, you know, 12 cups, a whole carafe, and I'd start my second shift. you know, I'd work, drink the whole thing and work till probably 1-2 o'clock, get up, I'd crash, I'd fall asleep instantly, but then I'd be up and at work, you know, by around 8, and I'd wake up wired. Actually, it was weird. It was not healthy. It wasn't good.
Heck no, it's not. It'll break you in half. And all you're doing is really extending your day by getting a caffeine rush at a coffee.
Yeah.
Coffee's not as bad as, say, an energy drink. It's, I think coffee is, what, 80 milligrams of caffeine per cup, depending on what you're drinking.
Yeah. But when you drink a whole carafe, it's a little excessive, right?
You're downing it. You're just extending your day. And then when you crash, you're not really sleeping. It's just crashing.
Yeah.
You're not getting that rest. And you got to go again. And you got to find that next high to get you. That's a rough way to go.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they teach us that in the military, that you're only allowed 4 hours of sleep a day. So that's all you're authorized was 4 hours of sleep. And it still stays with me now. I do about 4 hours is a good sleep for me. If I get more than that, I don't know what to do with myself. But
oh wow,
just how we're conditioned after so long of doing it.
Yeah.
I don't think the average person should do that and live that life.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, that's very interesting. Yeah, one thing that I would say for, you know, veterans like yourself is to take on a meditation practice of some sort, because, you know, a 20-minute meditation could be like an hour of sleep. You know, you meditate for 40 minutes or an hour, and then all of a sudden your 4 hours is more like 6 to 8. Very interesting.
The quiet times, I take now quiet times, and I do dark room, sit down and just try to shut out as much as possible. Just collect me, and then get back at what I have to do at that point. So, you know, like RJ just said in there, he's fighting that condition this year for sure. Of the sleep and stuff. He's my co-host. He's going through some stuff today. He's traveling, but he'll be back Tuesday or Thursday, whichever day is better. But he's gone through a lot in the last couple of years when he started taking care of himself. For a while, he was worrying about everything else and not really looking at him. And he's on the right path right now, and I can't say how proud I am of where he is today from where he was as a guest on our show about 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah. It's so important for that self-care. You know, one big thing too about self-care I'll mention in 2014 is when I came across Chinese medical Qigong. Now, I was familiar with Qigong when I studied Chinese Kung Fu when I was younger, but it was the martial Qigong. Qigong has three main branches, martial, medical, and spiritual. So like I said, when I was younger, I was exposed to the martial, and there's like health and wellness aspects. But in 2014, I came across a medical Qigong practitioner, and it was a game changer for me in running my company. Because at the time, I was so stressed out from the burdens of managing employees, dealing with clients and meeting their needs, dealing with vendors, also juggling family life, all these pressures and demands. And I was just off-centered, just off balance. And plus, you know, like I said, the health part of it too. That was just at the beginning stages of me starting to make a change. So I just wasn't myself. And I found this guy and I was like, wow, that's interesting. He does Qigong. I wonder if he's the real deal. I'll go check it out. And he was. And it just so happened he was only less than 5 minutes down the street from my house, amazingly enough. And otherwise, if he was like further away, I'd been like, oh man, I'd like to go, but I don't have time. But, you know, things kind of work out in interesting ways. And I would go to see him once a month. And after 6 months, I felt much better, much more centered and balanced. And then he asked me, would you like to learn how to do this? I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. So I really started taking a deep dive. And it was a game changer for me, just getting back to center and, you know, feeling very balanced. And it's not like the stresses go away. You know, life is always throwing stuff at you, but I was just much more equipped to manage through it.
Definitely.
Yeah.
While we're on it, tell the audience a little more about what it actually is and how maybe they can research it a little more and find out if it is a good fit for them or another way to go.
Sure. Sure. And that's a great point right there, because there's many ways up the mountain, right? And you got to find what works for you. You know, some people really like yoga, for example, kind of similar in a sense, where it's breathing and movement and meditation and so forth, or Tai Chi, or whatever. It could be someone really likes to run, right? Everyone needs to find what's going to work for them, what they're going to be passionate about. Now, Qigong, what that literally means is energy skill. So qi is what Chinese culture referred to as energy. And then gong is like discipline skill or skill. So the energy skill. And it's an ancient practice that's thousands of years old in China. And cultures from around the world have their various methods of working with energy. Energy being everything that surrounds us and that's within us. And let's take the woo-woo out of it. And if you look at certain scientists like Nikola Tesla and Albert Einstein, you know, they both said essentially the same thing. I'm paraphrasing, but that everything is energy, frequency, and vibration. Everything. I like to say everything is information expressed as energy vibrating at various frequencies. So the Chinese culture has done an incredible job at experimenting, working with energy, and then documenting these experiments and coming up with protocols to address specific conditions and have specific outcomes. And it's, you know, over in China, they've had tons of medical Qigong clinics up until the 90s. And then there's the big Falun Gong movement and the Communist Party clamped down on that. And it unfortunately shut down a lot of the medical Qigong clinics. There's some that are still open, but it's interesting. So there's definitely a growing interest here in the West. And I'm fortunate enough to be enrolled in a doctorate program right now for Chinese energy medicine that's being taught by one of the most renowned masters in the space. He's been out for 50 years, Dr. Jerry Allen Johnson. And where there's different aspects of healing that comes and self-transformation. The way I like to categorize Qigong is, you know, those are three branches, but when it comes to like the medical Qigong, I like to look at it in forms of healing, self-transformation, and then optimization, like energy optimization. So it can help you emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually. It works with what the Chinese refer to as three bodies. They always like to group things in threes. So the physical body, the energy body, and the spirit body. And it's working with the energetic anatomy. Just like we have a physical anatomy, we have an energetic anatomy. And it's running qi energy around outside and inside the body to have outcomes and to address specific root causes of qi stagnation, blockages. Like earlier, you used the term stagnation. If we don't adapt, we keep doing the same thing. You know, we stagnate. The same thing with energy. And energy creates stagnates, creates blockages, and disrupts the flow of qi, and that's where disease eventually manifests. People can find out more. There's an association, the National Association for Qigong, NAQ.org, I believe is the URL. And that is a good starter place for people to read up on it. And I think it has a directory of practitioners as well.
Okay. We have a question in there from Jake, our resident redneck here. How can we get more of the Eastern philosophy of medicine to become more mainstream here in the West?
Yeah, that's a great question because, interestingly enough, here's the challenge. A lot of this stuff with energy medicine and you're able to actually, you go to a practitioner and they do the work, but then they give you homework. Exercises that you do on your own, so you own your own health and healing, and you're able to address conditions without having to go the pharmaceutical route, say, or some other very expensive means that our conventional medical system is used to making tons of money off of us. We're all walking dollar signs. I used to do a lot of work for pharmaceutical companies, actually, and I got pretty disenchanted with that industry, which is why I decided I wanted to beat diabetes naturally. So that's the big challenge, is that the conventional medical system is a huge profit-making machine. So how that's the battle right there, right? So really it comes to people that are going to need to be seeking the Eastern alternative medicine practices and create a huge demand for it. And eventually things could shift. There is a trend towards what's called integrative medicine or functional medicine, which is a blend of both conventional Western medicine and Eastern medicine, which is great. Because, I mean, really, Western medicine is awesome when it comes to certain things like trauma surgery, the best in the world with that, you know? But for chronic conditions, it's interesting. It's more profitable to treat sick people than heal them.
And that's it's the sad reality of it. Saying things on this channel will probably be banned again from YouTube, but I'll agree with you, and my audiences agree with you. RJ said he's been studying the benefits of music and the hurts they operate within as they help you. The music, the hurts that music operates in as well. So I had another guest on here earlier, and that video actually was booted from the platform because of his beliefs and basically the same energy medicine and stuff like that.
Even though
it was his saying, not mine, but
right. Interesting.
So I just try to tap dance now.
Okay. I'll do the same.
Well, I don't, if it happens again, it's a punishment I'll take. So we've talked about where you were, where you are, your book, Business Kung Fu, Yijong. And now what does the future look like to you?
So at this point, really what I want to do is share with others my experience and knowledge, wisdom to help people. Really my defined purpose moving forward is to just create things that inspire and empower others to help them fulfill their potential. So that's a big part of the book too. You know, it's a component of that. It's meant to inspire and empower entrepreneurs to overcome challenges. At its core, it's a mindset book. There's all kinds of lessons and so forth, but at its base core, it's a mindset book. And I'm doing consulting work also last year, as I announced, like, hey, here's what I'm doing. And I picked up some clients right away doing consulting work in those categories that you mentioned earlier, branding, marketing, leadership. And then I'm also doing the Qigong practice where I have anywhere from a dozen to a couple dozen people that come to see me every month for the energy medicine practice. And I do want to combine that, the passion for energy medicine and the business knowledge and expertise that I have, to create a different approach in helping people, professional people, entrepreneurs, business people, any sort of professional, actually. May be interested in forming like a community of some sort that's really focused on my way of empowerment, in a sense, to do all the different things that I've experienced. So, you know, I'm at the early stages of this, especially with the book just coming out. So we'll see where it goes, but that's the vision for the future.
That's awesome. Craig, if you can give the audience maybe three tips that they could maybe better their day, better their business, better their life, what would that be?
Well, we talked about self-care, right? And it's a big challenge, especially when we're busy and we have all these responsibilities and obligations to others outside of ourselves, right? So one thing is I'd recommend just waking up early. You know, people say, oh, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. Oh, I'd like to, but I don't have time. There's an old Taoist saying, Lao Tzu actually said it, and I'm going to paraphrase it here because I forget the exact words, but saying you don't have time is the same as saying I don't want to. Right. So really, it's about setting your priorities. And for self-care, for example, let's say you want to introduce meditation and start with 20 minutes. Okay, well, wake up 20 minutes earlier each day. If you want to go to the gym, wake up an hour earlier each day. When I found out I had diabetes, I was like, oh man, my day is so busy. Oh, I can't go during the day. The place I was going to, I said, hey, can you, if I get here at 5, so I'm going to be here. They're all, no one comes here that early. I thought, well, that's what I need to do. And they're like, oh, okay. So I wake up at like 4:20. And get there by 5 and do my thing, because I had to do it that way, right? So wake up early. you know, that's your time before everyone else in the world wakes up and then it's like hounding you. You know, you're you know, if you're running a business, all the different people that you deal with on a daily basis, if you have family, you know, all their needs that you have to attend to. You know, make the time early so you can get it in every day, you know, every day. And not just a couple of days a week, every day. So that's one. Two, yeah, three things. There's so much, right? Two, I'd say always be learning. Always have an open mind to learn. You know, constantly be reading, researching, watching podcasts like this. You know, keep an open mind and come to any sort of new subject with an open mind. There's this saying like, come with an empty cup, you know, or empty your cup. You know, if it's full, you can't take in that information, that knowledge. Or if you think you already know this or know that, like, you know, let go of that. Let go of that ego and just empty that out or wipe this slate clean. So, you know, even if you have experience, you never know when someone that you're talking to might have one golden nugget out of, say, an hour. They just have one golden nugget for 5 minutes. And you're like, wow, it changes everything, right? So always keep an open mind to learning and empty your cup. While you're learning. Three, find a mentor. Yeah, that's another big thing. Over the course of my business career, I've had many mentors and it helps immensely because you don't know everything. It just, you know, like I said, I made so many mistakes and mentors help you expedite things and not make certain mistakes that could be very costly, right? So they've been there, done that. So learn from them. You know, there's plenty of people show up. There's another Eastern saying, when the student is ready, the master appears. And that happened numerous times throughout my career, actually. So yeah, I'd say that would be another important one. There's so many of them, but those are the three that just suddenly come to mind.
Definitely. So set priorities and start your day early. Great advice right there. Learn something new every day. Have that empty cup. Fill it as you go through your day. That's a great advice. And of course, seek a mentor. Having a mentor, like you said, we all don't know everything. We don't know what we don't know. And there's always someone that does know what you need to know. Ask the questions, raise that hand and do that. Craig, that's great advice for the audience. And you've been great tonight. What's the best way if someone can reach out and get a hold of you or get a copy of your book?
Sure. So my book is available on Amazon in hardcover, paperback, Kindle format. I plan on releasing it in other channels like Barnes & Noble, so forth, later, probably an audiobook as well. But for now, it's Amazon. And reaching me, I'm on LinkedIn, just as Craig Cook. So LinkedIn/in/Craig Cook. And then also my website, which is csquaredpro.io. That's the letter C and then squaredpro.io. And you can contact me there. There's a form. I don't list my email because I get too much spam. But just fill out the form. I monitor it. And so those are the two great ways to get a hold of me. And before I forget, I wanted to mention too, you know, for vets, Qigong is a really great thing, especially when it comes to people that are contemplating suicide. I saw the advertisement, you know, before the show started. And in the doctorate program, I mean, one of the senior teachers is actually talking to the VA about implementing some Qigong programs because there's been some studies where it reduces the suicide rate, actually. It's good. So I encourage vets to look into that.
Thank you. And our community will like that. And I'm sure those listening on Bowface Radio, Heroes Media Group, and of course, the YouTube and the Interverse, they will spread that as well, because that is something we fight on a daily basis
within our
community, within the veteran community, first responder community. So it's something that is near and dear to our heart. I have your website going across the bottom right now, csquaredpro.io.
Great. Thank you.
Go there. And it's also being the show notes when it comes out on audio firm only. Greg, again, awesome. Thank you so much for coming on tonight. It's been great chatting with you. RJ, get better. Jake and Steve, thanks for being in the chat tonight.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Awesome. Have a good night.
You too.
This is a message from the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs. Got a question about your VA benefits, healthcare, or eligibility? Go to va.gov, where you can access a new interactive chatbot to ask questions 24/7. One can still browse va.gov for information, but you can now ask specific questions to the chatbot, like what's the PACT Act? How do I apply for disability benefits? What's my claim status? You can access the new feature through va.gov's Contact Us page. Then click on the Start Chat button. The chatbot will continue to improve veterans' access to information about the benefits and services they've earned. This is one way VA is offering seamless and secure access to its online resources.
Thanks for checking us out and being a part of the Misfit Nation show. Don't forget to visit our website at themisfitnation.com. That's themisfitnation.com. Check out all our past episodes and get some of the great Misfit Nation gear for you and your family. As always, be humble, stay hungry, and keep hustling. Because we are
Misfit Nation. Misfit Nation.